The way that I knew that Peter Hirschberg was committed to the bit was that because Luna City lived inside of the 1980s, Peter had a change machine, and in that change machine were quarters that you could use to play the video games. And since no machine in Luna City had been made after 1988, he personally made sure that there wasn't a single quarter in the thousands of quarters in the change machines that was past 1988 as well. From the carpets to the posters, from the machines to the quarters, Peter was committed to the bit. And I, somebody who was committed to a different bit, sat at his feet to learn. This is Jason Scott Talks His Way Out of It, a podcast about technology, history, and getting myself out of debt. Thanks to Daniel Boyd, Jeff Atwood, and the hundreds of other supporters on Patreon and elsewhere who have been supporting me and helping me get out of debt. Peter Hirschberg had an arcade in his basement, which he named Luna City. This would not make him special. There's a whole bunch of people who have rebuilt 1980s arcades in their homes. But Peter had bigger dreams. Sinking thousands, then tens of thousands of dollars, Peter spent a couple years building his true dream arcade. I knew Peter was special when he had created an emulator named Vector Dream at a time when it was very new to have an emulator emulate multiple machines. Not only did he declare that he owned and had studied every one of these machines, he also added a whole range of sliders to ensure a realistic portrayal of your memory of these machines. Not just rendering vector beams, but allowing modification so that they were out of focus or flickering, or that the sound could have a buzzing reflecting a speaker that was slowly dying. This attention to detail at a time when just getting over the hump of just finishing the project was considered good enough told me that Peter was of a different sort. This was a person worth admiring. It would be many years after Vector Dream that I would ever meet Peter, and I met him after he had finished the Luna City Arcade version 2. To create this arcade, he built a four-car garage on his property. From the outside, it looked like that, but inside, it was one large area with optional car doors that he could convert back and forth should the building ever have to be sold. Inside, he had not just sourced his own collection of vintage arcade games, but he had found black lights, arcade carpets, change machines, and all the different pieces of what made an arcade such an interesting and unique place. Peter, like I said, was dedicated. Accompanying this dedication was sharing online the process of building this huge structure that the arcade would be in. The laying of the foundations, the process of having builders come in, how his thinking was going regarding power that would drive these machines, how he would make it all work in terms of layout and presentation. His massive collection of posters and advertisements would also go on the wall to give everything a sense of a long-gone, bygone era. Peter worked on Luna City Arcade for years. By the time he was done, and this is important, he did it. He had created his dream arcade. By anybody's standards, this was not just a collection of machines, but this was, from the ground up, an experience. When you walked in through the door, you could hear all of the machines in attract mode, the combinations of black light and indirect lighting and the glow from all the marquees was something that either blew you away if you had never experienced it before, or harkened you back decades in your own life to when you first wandered up to a centipede machine or found a battle zone in the back and let yourself be taken away in imagination far beyond what the low-resolution screens were showing you. Peter did it. Now, Peter could have left it like that. He could have been one of dozens of collectors who have incredible basements and outbuildings, but he wanted fundamentally to share what he had. As a result, there were Luna City game days, days where Peter would open the house and allow people to come in, park, bring their families, and have a fun time letting them play games that maybe their children had never known, but that their parents had made part of their own childhood. There'd be a bounce castle outside. People would grill burgers. It was a community family day in the middle of Maryland. I was lucky enough to come multiple times to Luna City game days, as well as seeing Peter outside of them. We had talked a lot online, but meeting him in person, you could sense how proud he was of this accomplishment. As it was, I would often go to Washington, D.C. for ShmooCon, the hacker conference, and I would always make a point of doing a road trip with a few friends from that conference out to Peter's Luna City, where we'd play a few games and talk with Peter. I took some footage, photographs, and recordings over the years, because life had told me that eventually everything fades, no matter how much you think it's permanent, a part of the background, never to change. And, unfortunately, I was right. Peter's marriage broke down, and as a part of the ensuing process, Luna City was closed. The machines were put into storage or sold off, the carpets ripped up. The entire building was turned into that backup plan, a simple four-car garage, allowing a person to store their vehicles in a pristine structure that hadn't been designed for it, but had been prepared for it. Peter kept a few machines in his collection, but Luna City was gone. His ex-wife was kind enough to let me film a few more minutes of footage inside of the building while the machines were being broken down and taken away, the last few pieces that needed a home either to storage or to other collectors. It felt in some ways like a funeral, but in other ways it felt like I was saying goodbye to a friend that I hadn't even understood the depths of which was a part of me. You see, Luna City functioned not just as a collection or as a place to have family days. It joins those rare parts of one's life that functions just as well as a warm memory. For the hundreds of people who got to visit Luna City while it existed, the shared moment inside of this temple, this beautiful building of black light and neon and glowing carpets, will always be with them. A memory like a homeland rises up, like a forgotten face that affected you and loved you once and is now faded into obscurity. It says something to me that Peter Hirschberg was so committed to the bit, so committed to recreating not just a place where machines existed, not just a room where you could put vintage quarters into machines, but he had created the very thing that he had been chasing, a foundational memory across generations, that for those who were there, those who can remember it, those who look up from their desk or let their minds wander on a road trip, will remember as sharply, as well-defined, as a first love, a shed tear through time. This is Jason Scott Talks His Way Out of It, a podcast about technology, history, and getting myself out of debt. Thanks to Josiah Lusher, James Bekoyanu, Mark Pilgrim, Emilio Oliveira, Ernie Hershey, Michael Rubin, Craig Talbert, Dileep Reddy, Sean Kelly, Trixie the Cat, John Sturm, Eugene, Martin, Symbiance, and Anonymous, along with the hundreds of other supporters on Patreon and elsewhere who have been supporting me and helping me get out of debt. Peter Hirschberg is fine. I'm not doing this in response to some sort of news or tragedy or anything else. I'm simply doing exactly what Luna City does, letting it suddenly appear in your mind, remember some part of it, in my case, vintage quarters, and realizing that that was something you held in your hand, standing in a unique and beautiful place that grows as a memory until you realize you've been standing, staring into space for a few minutes. While Luna City is gone, its machines scattered, its collections dwindled, Peter demonstrated to me that places like this are not the harbingers of a century or a decade or any specific time. They can be constructed with effort and love at any moment. While Luna City exists in the past, it echoes into the future for me that there will be other places, other assemblages, other projects that are the source of someone's infinite energy of youth waiting to be discovered by others. I will find myself in some place, some event, whether a short multi-day exhibit or a structure that represents someone's years of effort. And I will try to drink it all in, take the maximum amount of photographs, knowing that at any moment, through nobody's fault, it could all come crashing down into oblivion. And while that sort of thinking seems so negative on first blush, I assure you, it's an awareness that a life lived in the present, combined with an awareness of the past and a hopefulness for the future, for every waking and dreaming moment.